looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Gary, and welcome today to a special series. We have an addition to this month of July. I told you guys it was going to be a busy one, and we are featuring yet again a beautiful, another anthology compilation, and this is from the interview series, Magnetic Entrepreneur. Now, this is the female leadership one, and Robert J. Moore is the publisher, compiler, author, you know, speaker of the whole series, Magnetic Entrepreneur, and you're going to see, oh my goodness, he's just a busy fella. He's out there doing lots of stuff. And today's guest is actually a very special woman because she happens to be Robert's mom. And see herself, and she's all of that and more, and we're going to talk about our guest in just a minute, Shirley. I want to share with everybody why we're running this series for the whole month of July. Every Tuesday, you can join us here at 12 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be speaking with one of the co-authors from the book. And what this book is really about, you know, there's seven female magnetic entrepreneurs, and they have to, you know what, in order to be an entrepreneur, you got to have something to write about. You want to write about it and share it. And what, these are all entrepreneurs, but none of them were really born with silver spoons in their mouths, and most of them started from very humble beginnings and decided to become more than what society told them to be. And that's a big one for me, and I thought, I have to put the spotlight on this. And each one of these authors saw past the limitations placed on them to the possibilities and choose to become more. That's a huge statement, you guys. We got to choose to become more. And that's what the show is about. It's about giving you reasons to feel better. Because when you feel better, you know you can, you just have that knowing inside of you. And so if you're, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're not, you just work at your career, your chosen job. Make sure that you are doing all those choices and as you want to. Now, Shirley, I want to bring you on right away. This is Shirley A. Connolly. Hello and welcome.
Thank you very much, and welcome to you too there, Lisa. How are you today?
Yay! I'm really good. I'm really looking forward to yours. Your story is, you've got a great outlook because you're looking back now at things and life and events. And I'm going to share your bio with everybody, but what I just found so... You know what it was, Shirley, when I read your chapter, there's something you pull out of yourself and put on the pages that I haven't come across. And it's a real deep wisdom and a way of yanking the wisdom from your soul, from like the depths that you've gone to, and then offering it with such like a glowing heart in your hand, and you're just holding it out for everybody. I don't know any other way of saying that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's what I try to do. Everything has to actually come from your heart and inside your soul. Otherwise, I don't believe it's believable.
Right. Believable. And that's what she thinks. You're talking about stories. Now, everybody, I'm going to share with you about Shirley A. Connolly. I love saying the initial there. Shirley and I together discussed, and we thought, you know what? Be a great title just to really attract the right people who would resonate and be helpful for us. Is this, we're titling this episode, The Cost of Staying Stuck in the Story. Now, how many of you out there are telling the story over and over, but it's actually making you suffer? Like, you know, you know you want to share, you don't know what to do but share it. But Shirley's actually really, oh my gosh, the most perfect person, I think, to be able to let you know how far to just reach back into the past to figure out what you need to know, and how long to keep telling the story until, you know, you're healed, and then what to do to move forward. So we've got this episode down as stop spending your day suffering. It's time to save your life. Shirley is showing up and saving lives. Yes, that's a bold statement, and it's true. Shirley A. Connolly is a vigilant woman, a leader to those who want and are ready for the transformation from giving up like giving up. And I'm talking about right from suicide to just frustration every day, but from giving up to giving it their all. Horrific abuse, brutal rapes, near-death motor vehicle accidents, losing two of her four sons, and attempting suicide herself. Shirley comes from a place of deep desire to outlive her remaining boys.
Robert?
Hello? She is ready to own her life. Everybody, I love them. To live with such personal power that she knows she decides her worth. Shirley reaches out, she invites, and she searches for anyone to come to her and begin by simply making the decision to not stay in any abusive situation, be it from another or yourself. Her past is shared just enough so you can see how far she's come. Shirley's how is delivered in a way that she leaves no one out. So, again, I know I welcomed you, but my God, Shirley, you're just incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. I just so appreciate this. This is absolutely fantastic.
Ah, well, besides me say, I can see in your praises here, the reason is I know that you transform lives, and that's a huge thing to say, but would you start by sharing, you tell the story so well because you just go deep enough. Would you share a little bit of your beginning story, why all of this has happened? Why did you write these stories?
Okay, when I first started, it was actually due to the death of my boys, and I felt totally, totally worthless. But I decided that after trying to commit suicide when my eldest boy died, that I did have something to offer, and I was not worthless. And I thought, okay, this would be the way and very therapeutic for me to write a book about my boys' lives. They have stories they need to be told, and it would be magical to even save just one life.
I think you have.
What I strive for.
You know, that's interesting. If you could share, because I know you're coming from a place where you really, when you say you felt worthless, I mean, that you really did. And you really, you felt it, you believed it, and nothing inside of you was telling you, no, no, but you are, you know, at that time. Can you share just how far that took you when you felt that way?
When I felt worthless, well, you know, it was beyond belief because I had suffered so much with losing my two boys, my eldest and my third eldest. I thought, I had nothing to live for. I need to straighten things out. And after I attempted the suicide, I thought, no, I have to go on. I have to educate myself. I have to do something to help other people. So I went back and educated myself. I received a lot of certificates and diplomas. I am well-versed, you know, in a lot of areas. I had them in psychology, criminal, and sociology. I have it in law. I have it in accounting. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a CEO of the Brighter Light Formula and founder. I'm also a CEO and founder of Electrified Entrepreneurs. I wanted to share their stories because their lives were meaningful as well, and they're still here. They're still with me. I think of them every single day.
Your fuel for your brighter light. And, you know, there's something that comes up to me is, I've said this before, borrowed belief. And in your situation, like you were to the point where with having such, it's almost like you can't believe that you're even still alive after the abuse that you did go through and the car accidents. And we'll touch on a little bit so people can connect. But then to have such a, like, you had to make a choice that, I mean, the two boys already were living when you did attempt suicide. So what switched and turned around that suddenly now they, for you, that you found them to all to be so worth living for?
I still had two other boys here. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm not worth this. I have a lot to offer to the world and I just have to bring it out. So I generally put myself back together, and I wanted to live for them. Like, I can't leave them here by themselves, even though two their brothers were gone. I wanted to put things together because the accident, yes, I was left on a very steep hill after someone sideswiped me on a very late dark night and raining. I was left for dead, and I almost did die.
Oh.
And I ended up in the hospital for almost a year, two different hospitals for almost a year. I had to learn how to walk, speak. I had no idea who anybody was. I had no memory of anything whatsoever, not of my children, my marriage, nothing. I had to regain everything.
I still find that fascinating. First of all, did your brain just get grown back, or did people keep showing up and telling? Did you truly remember, or did you just relearn?
I actually relearned.
So, do you have any memories?
I have a couple of memories, but they came from the angel that saved my life, and that was a truck driver who saw the whole accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he saw the whole accident. He was driving behind. He actually saw everything. He told me that my vehicle had slipped up into the air, very high up into the air. Mm-hmm. And then it started spinning and whirling out of control. And then it rolled seven or eight times down the steep hill. I just missed an overpass of oncoming traffic by inches.
Oh, my gosh.
He then ran down the hill and had to run back up to get tools because I was flipped. My vehicle was sitting on its roof. My back was against the driver's side of the car. That's how many times I had flipped.
Mm, wow.
And my head was facing the floor, and I was sitting on the roof.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Your whole body just was broken.
Yes, I had massive, massive internal bruises. I was unconscious. He got me out of my vehicle seconds before it blew up.
Oh, my gosh, like a movie. And see, when you think of these things, I mean, in the end, you ended up having your spine was broken three different places. Cheekbone. Like you had concussions, obviously, his memory. And you had to literally repiece your body back together, not just, you know, your life. My question around that particular one is, was there, okay, so there's a story that's been telling there and told there, but is the story now attached with, that I've healed now and I believe in my body's strength and ability. Like, what is your story around that accident now, and how long ago was that?
That accident was in 1983.
83, okay. A long time ago. Whew, you've come a long way.
I have, yes.
So at that time, as you were recovering in the hospital, were you doing like self-love, self-development, self-care?
Not really. They had to do everything for me because I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn so many different things. I couldn't walk on my own. And with all the bruises inside, and I suffered two very severe back surgeries. I had to have a steel rod, nuts, bolts, and everything else put in my back, or I never would have been able to walk. So it took a year in both hospitals to accomplish that. My boys would come in to see me. I didn't know who they were.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. And so was that an opportunity, do you think, looking back at the potential of, did you need to rebuild the relationship with your sons at that time or tell a different story? Like, was that helpful? Do you think they just wiped your memory clean so you can have a clean slate?
I know it's so hard, you know. Even with a B and way back there, I can remember it so vividly because I knew I saw them somewhere, but I didn't know where.
Right, okay.
You know, and they're saying, but Mom, and I'm going, who's Mom?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no children. I don't know who you people are.
Right. So did you? So this is so interesting because a lot of people right now, they say, gosh, I wish I could just forget everything. I wish I could wipe this, you know, from my mind. And here we get to speak with you who's gone through this. And are you happy that that's happened, that you can, or do you now have some memories back? Because you went through, you had a crazy, awful, abusive childhood. And it was, you know, meant at the hands of a few people. Was it, are you happy that you don't, do you have those memories?
I am in a way, yes, because it clarified things for me with the way that my family treated me, because I was treated as a total outcast by absolutely everybody on both sides of my mom and dad's family, plus my parents. I was sexually abused at the age of 3 and 4, brutally. I'm told never to tell anybody or I would be killed. I mean, at that young of an age, you don't even understand anything.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. So, yeah, it was very terrifying. And I didn't tell anybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then when I was 12 and 13, I mean, my father was a drunk. Mm-hmm. And he was brutal. He never sexually assaulted us, but the drinking brought out the worst in him. So he would come in late at night and go up to our room. I shared a bed with my sister, Mary. She's 16 months younger than me. And it didn't matter who was the closest, whoever was. He would yank them out. He took a buckle belt. And I happened to be the one that particular night. And he beat me so bad. I couldn't walk for like 2 or 3 months. And I was totally bruised, couldn't go to school. I couldn't do anything. My sister... We're both screaming. We have 2 younger sisters. We screamed for them to hide in this cubbyhole type of cupboard so that he wouldn't get his hands on them as well.
He had a lot going on, too. With, like, here you are with your sister, whom you love, and you're protecting her. You're trying to protect together. You're young. You're going through this. And this is supposed to be someone in your life who is supposed to love and take care of you, protect you, not the other, like, complete other way around. Of course, that would influence how you thought about yourself. Ending. Is that where the I'm worthless, came from?
Yes, that is exactly where it came from, because the whole family would treat me with total disrespect. My grandmother, who was my dad's mom, she would call me really nasty names, tell me I was not welcome at her house. She would chase me with broomsticks. She would
hit me.
Yeah, total.
Yeah. See, and these are such, you know, I'm so sorry that you, it's weird. I don't want to apologize that you went through it, because I think that you, because of these things, you've turned it in such an incredible way. But I am sorry that you had to go through such, emotionally destroying feelings about yourself. I'm so glad that you've come back to loving self. And that's what you are doing by sharing these things. And the story back then of worthlessness, was there a ladder that you climbed? So it wasn't just like, oh, I went from, I love it, the one line that you have here. It's, I now have pride and devote myself in attempting to save as many lives as possible around the world. Those are your words, and I love that chapter, because I now have pride is a big jump, right, from feeling worthless. Like, do you remember how you took your first step to turn this around?
I remember that after my first son died, and I tried to commit suicide, and actually I would have succeeded if it had not been for my niece talking to me on the phone. She called me, and I was talking to her, and she told me, she says, "You're not making any sense. What is wrong with you?" Mm-hmm. And I just simply said to her, "Look, I don't want to talk right now. I have to go," and I hung up on her. I then proceeded to down 2 large bottles of prescribed medication.
Mm.
She felt that something was wrong, and she called the police.
She knew right away. That's so brave of her, believing her inner voice. Sometimes we go, "Oh, I sounded wrong," but later on, when you're too late and you don't call, and you find out what something was. And so they came, and they were able to, obviously, you're here. What did you come to right away, or was it a...
No, they had a hard time because I had taken so much. They pumped my stomach. Like, they told me this. They pumped my stomach, and it was days later when I found out who had actually saved my life. And I was absolutely grateful to her for that, because then it gave me some sort of clarity, and I lied in the bed, and I started thinking, oh, my God, I don't know why I did that. Like, I still have 3 other boys.
Yeah. So what state were you in that only days later you're like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? That was, you know, but what got you there to take them?
I think it was because I was lying there and I'm thinking of my past, because at that point I still remember it, because it was prior to some of the other things that had happened, right? I mean, I was raped more than once, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I've been through all of this. I've had water, scalding, boiling water thrown on my torso, right in my face. Mm-hmm. I ended up in the hospital over that as well.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I had a chandelier smashed above me while I was sleeping, waking up with glass in my face, arms, and my chest.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so you have every – this is so – you're now – like, thank gosh you didn't – like, I just – I'm almost speechless because I'm thinking, like, there's so many reasons why so many people would believe that. Like it's not, people are trying to kill me. People don't care about me. People don't love me. These are heavy-duty, life-threatening emotions that you're going through all your life.
Yes. Yes, it was. And then I thought – I need to do something. I have to gather myself together. I need to get out of this situation. I need to make sure that no one else ever goes through what I went through. And that's when I started thinking about it. Then when my second son died, that did it.
Oh, okay. You were on path.
Yes.
That, okay, now that is even more incredible. Okay, everybody, did you just catch that? Seriously, you have gone through beyond hell, lost a son, and still went, okay, I've got to get a better place. I can do this. And then to lose the second son.
Yeah.
I, you know, that's, and then you did it again, but we're going to hold on here. I got the, when I was reading this, and I love that when you talked about having the pride, and I love that you said this. I'm going to reread that line. I now have pride and devote myself in attempting to save as many lives as possible around the world, as opposed to attempting suicide yourself. There is no guarantee of seeing tomorrow. Statistics state hundreds, even thousands are lost each year throughout the world due to, and this is huge, to their fear, lack of trust, knowledge, and the list goes on. But the fact that you chose those, I have to ask you, due to fear, did you had lived through so much, did you come to a point where you just actually thought you were invincible and you wouldn't die no matter what?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yes.
And what was it coming from a place like, oh my gosh, I'm even failing at not, you know, dying, getting out of here? Or was it like, wow, somebody wants me here? Or,
well, what happened was, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, I have two other boys. I don't want to outlive them. I want them to be here. I have to save their life. Of course, you know, they put me through trauma too, you know.
Those boys.
Oh, Lord, yes. Well, especially, you know, my son, Robert J. Moore there. And he is well known for his antics and the things that he pulled off. And, yes, the family shut him out. And I felt bad about it, but I also felt if I do this to him because it was done to me, he's going to learn. That was my first thought in going into what I'm at, where I am now. I am going to give him the cold shoulder. You know, that's it. You're getting it. That's it. You get out. I did. I actually threw him out of my home twice.
Because he was just on a path that you were going to enable or support.
That's right. He was on a path of total destruction in his whole life. You know, he was deceptive. He was stealing. He was getting into tons and tons of trouble in the legal system. And I thought, no. You need to learn. Somehow you have to learn on your own, like I did, to get yourself together. Educate yourself. Move on. You are worthy. You need to be taught that. And if I have to give you the cold shoulder to do it and be a very strict mother, I will do that. And if I have to put you on the street, I will do that too.
And that's a tough one to make, that decision after going through so much too. And
very hard.
Was that before losing the two sons or after?
That was after losing Thomas, who died in a major car accident.
Okay.
And before losing Reagan, who died from a fatal reaction to prescribed medication. Now, both these boys were not very old. Thomas was 30 when he died. Reagan was 38. Now, the unique thing with Reagan was, and that ripped me apart. I just couldn't fathom what the police were trying to tell me.
Okay. Oh, geez. I know.
Because he, I was speaking to him. He was helping out the Salvation Army, and I had spoken to him that day at 12:30. He called me, and I told him I would call him back at 2:30, which I did, and he was busy doing something. I thought he said painting or something. I couldn't quite catch what he said. But anyway, and I told him, okay, I will talk to you later. So I tried calling him back at 6:30. From that time on, I couldn't get a hold of him. And then all of a sudden, a day and a half later, his phone went dead. I knew there was something wrong. I knew it. There was something wrong.
Now, on that note, because they're going to sneak away to commercials, but I didn't want to think. When I Love the Eagle, you knew in your gut there was something wrong. You needed to figure out what was going on from there. We're going to come back, and we're going to find out how to move on from stories, no matter how real and painful they can be at any time. And Shirley's going to help us. Okay, come on back after the commercials.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Everyone, you're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we are featuring the Magnetic Entrepreneur Series. This is for women leadership, and we have Shirley A. Connolly on the line with us and sharing some heavy stories. Now, I want to jump back into that story and finish it. It is a huge lesson in there that I'm going to point out to everybody. But why you're listening right now, especially to Shirley, is because she really is going to be able to share with us how you can move on from a story that you had just had, you know, you're stuck in it and you keep telling it because you're just trying to find a way out, but you can't move on. And she's going to share with us how education played a huge role in that. But Shirley, just as you were, you know, you, thank goodness, listening to your gut, knowing your intuition, when your son seemed to have been missing, you knew something was wrong.
Yes, absolutely. And I sat there and I thought. And I remember I was up for 3 or 4 days, calling every hour on the hour with no sleep. I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing anything. I had no assistance whatsoever. And then finally, I remembered someone that he was working with because he was a construction worker. And he was 38. So I vigilantly went on the internet and I found this person. I hoped I had found the right person, and I did.
Oh, look at you, determination.
Yeah. I know. And I was very determined. And he called me back. And he said, I don't live in the same building as your son, but I know someone who does, and I will tell them to call you. And I was so grateful. So when the person called me back, the only thing they said to me was, you need to call Division 53. I went, what?
Oh, yeah.
So now I know there's something wrong. This is evil.
Yeah.
You know, death has come knocking at my door once again.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have to prepare before you called?
No.
Okay.
I directly went on to the internet looking up their phone number. And when I called, the lady that answered, I asked her, I said, I am calling for information regarding my son, Reagan Collins. And she said, hold on. Then I hear this detective come on. And as soon as I heard detective, and I said, no, this is not happening. You are not doing this to me. I start screaming at him. He didn't even get a word out.
Again, going through these things is just, I love your, let's finish that one because I just want people to hear how you really got yourself out of that, because these are very traumatic times.
Yes. He had actually been dead. Like, he died on the 28th. His birthday was on April 1st when he would have turned 39, and that's the day they found him.
Oh. Well, he decided to go out on the day. Well, kind of. There's reasons for him. You know, there's reasons. Well, you know, that, you know, it's prescription. It was a prescription overdose. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. And so, you know, so many people are listening going, okay, well, I've been through the car accident, or I've been had a, you know, an abusive childhood, or I've lost children. And taking all that, had you already been working, like, did you already love education, or is this something you decided went, oh my gosh, I need to get educated, and then just go on a rampage?
Well, I had already been educated in accounting. I was an assistant accountant for over 30 years. I was also a professional singer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I forgot to tell you that. I'm
yeah.
so sorry. Yes, I was a professional singer. Yes, for many years.
Oh, well, that is so cool. Oh, should have had you sing. But So why there was this desire, because you have since then gone back to school and got so many certificates and diplomas. And what keeps you, is the education keeping you grounded, or are you keeping grounded and that's why you're getting educated? Which is first?
I am keeping grounded and educating myself. I wanted to educate myself, even though I've been through all this, and, you know I can save lives without even having that education, but I wanted it because it clarifies things for people. It clarifies things for me, and it's very therapeutic. I mean, I had gone to specialists and psychiatrists, and, you know, they had told me, well, you shouldn't remember too much because it's going to rip your life apart.
That was a huge thing, and I wanted to say that, yes, you said you don't, yes, these are people helping you and saying, yes, you don't want to remember too much, just enough, because it will rip you apart.
Yes. Absolutely.
And are you able to tell, when you're talking with somebody and they're going through their recount or recalling things and everything, are you able to identify where you go, whoa, now we're going too far? Do you know how to identify
yes.
when it's going to be too much?
Yes, yes, I do. I do realize when it's going to be too much, and I know when it's going to put things back into their mind. I don't want to take them backwards. I don't want them to go back there, because it's like, let's say you were in an abusive relationship, which I specialize in now because I have certificates in that.
Okay.
They tend, when they get out of that, when they figure out how to get out of that or who to go to get the help, and I don't, I know the police and therapists, you know, all these specialists, they're good at what they do. They're educated in it, but I believe the perfect and right person to go to is someone who has actually been there, who has suffered through it. Because there's no closure. There's no such thing as closure.
Aw. Well, that's sad. Well, do you have another word then? If there's no such thing as closure, what would be the word that we can look forward to?
You have to learn to deal with it in a way that it doesn't overwhelm you to the point where you want to give up.
You know,
which is what I did. I had to put everything into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
out of
my
passion.
Absolutely.
Would you say, that's actually interesting. Do you feel compassionate towards all the people in your life who've ever hurt you?
Yeah, different types of compassion, yes.
Yeah. Different.
You can't put it down to one because there were so many different things that had actually happened, and some of them were so bad it was unreal.
And do you believe, as compassion and understanding to me is definitely different than forgiveness. I have a different place for forgiveness. Do you feel you have to forgive to move on, or can you just have understanding and compassion?
You don't really have to forgive to move on. I don't believe so, no. I mean, a lot of people do, but I don't think so.
Right. So everybody hear that? You can move on still. I think that's a really big, important thing. And I think the word maybe, it sounds like what you're looking for, like what you said, get to a place where the trauma is not so overwhelming, the memory of it and the story of it is not so overwhelming that makes you, you know, want to give up. But that's being at peace. Are you at peace?
Yes.
Oh,
I am definitely at peace.
And
the best thing of putting me at peace was when Robert decided to change his life and become who he is today, like I had become who I am today, that brought me satisfaction. It made me understand what happened to me. It clarified it for me, but I will never understand why these people did it to me. That will never be clarified.
And that's not your job, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want, you know, and I don't want to know now.
Yeah, that is huge. Do you think that people get stuck in a story because they still want to know why somebody did something or this event happened, or is it because they haven't let go of that needing to know why something out of their control has happened?
Okay, the biggest thing would be that they're stuck there. They don't want to let go. They don't know how to let go. They don't know who to turn to. Once they get past that, you know, I have there's a system set up. It's, you know, tiny little steps up a golden ladder to save your life and to get you to the dreams that you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serenity, happiness. There's a rainbow at the top. You have to reach out to get that, but go to the person that you feel best that can help you, that has actually been there and suffered all of these traumatic things.
And reached the happiness. You've reached serenity. You've reached peace.
Absolutely. And you have to be very careful because some people, even when they're going up that ladder, can fall back down. And that's what I don't want. And a lot of people do that because, like I was going to say earlier, let's say they're in an abusive relationship. All of a sudden, okay, they get out of that one, but they seem to attract that type of person again. I don't want you there.
Right.
I want to teach you how to stay away from that and how to see through these people.
I love that. That's golden. That is your golden thing. Because you're able to see it, you're able to recognize it, and patterns. And why do we do that? When we finally get out of one abusive relationship, we attract the next.
Yes.
Why do you think that trouble, you know, pursued you until you did love yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I love myself. You know, like, I think I thought of it more because nobody else loved me. I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to show these people, hey, you're not going to do this to me. You're not putting me down. Like, you've done so much to me that I'm going to overpower you now, and I'm taking it away from you. I'm not letting you do these things to me anymore. And if you try, it's like someone in a fist fight. There's two hits. I'm going to hit you, and you're going down. That's exactly the way I looked at it.
Right. Wow, I love that. It's such statements, you know, bold statements about self-love. And like, it's just, I love that way you had such, you know, excitement in there. There was one thing I wanted to, you wrote something, and because we just have a few more minutes before we wrap up. Actually, what I would love to everybody share. Do you teach that the brighter light formula still? Is that something that you're still teaching and coaching?
Oh yes, yes I do.
Tell me about that. Actually, I'd love to hear about what. That's such a beautiful name. I love it.
Oh, you like that? Yeah, that's great. I love it too. Yeah, it took a long time to come up with that. The brighter light formula is where I actually take them from rock bottom, okay? Because they're already buried themselves. Hmm. I want to have them by themselves remove all that dirt on top of them. Hmm. I can't teach them how to do that. They have to do it by themselves. So they have to reach out and really want the help, and it has to be wholeheartedly. You don't want to stay there. You want to come out. You want to be safe. You want to be in a happy life. You can be. But if it isn't coming from your heart, and if you're, you know, going through this thinking, okay, well, I'm going to go so far, and that's as far as I'm going to go, it's not worth anybody's time. Mm-hmm. You need to reach the top. And the only way you're going to do that is to find that perfect person to help you. Stick with it. You know, do your programs that will teach you how to get out of there, how to keep that sand up, and you will not attract that person again because you will understand the signs. I teach them the signs. I teach them the myths, the realistic aspects of it. Mm. Because there are myths and there's reality.
You know what, that's actually, if I can ask you, could you share with us, we'll do it on Facebook for after the show, if you could come up with one, just, I know it's a sneak peek, we're asking you to share, but share one myth sign and share what the realistic one would be. That would be a really good example to share with people. And because we do have to wrap up, but I thought that was so interesting that you chose that word wholeheartedly. I was literally going to read that paragraph. I won't, but it says, reach out wholeheartedly with your heart and both hands and feel.
Yes.
Imagine the fulfillment of no more sorrows and trouble, but warmth and comfort, creating a golden garden surrounding you in bliss, serenity, and beauty. The whole paragraph, I wish I could read it, but that is beautiful, Shirley. And I've loved having you here and sharing. Everybody's got to get the book, right? Magnetic Entrepreneurs, Women Leadership. This is with Shirley Connolly. And do you have any final moment wrap-up that you would love to share with us?
Yes. I love it. Everybody, I always do, right? I think everybody is great. If I can save one life, that would be a miracle. And I want to save lives. They can contact me if they want to speak to me. I will help them as much as I can. I can only take them as far as they want to go.
Yeah.
And they can reach me. They can find me on Facebook. I'm sure. All over the place. You know, I'm going to be doing a co-authoring in love.